I want to read a very familiar passage to many of us, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the New International Version. Text says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." The word of the Lord. Tagline or lifeline. Thank you, ushers. There was a pastor in Chicago who's now deceased. Every time he would get up to speak to an audience or preach a sermon, he would recite the words of our text. It was his mantra. And of course, he recited the verses in the King James Version. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." He said each time. He did this so consistently that other preachers, when speaking about him, would also reference this passage. Even at his funeral, these verses were incorporated into his obituary. Many Christians have special passages of Scripture that serve as sort of a guide or theme for their lives. And that's a good thing. The Word of God ought to shape our lives. Dr. Waters gave a powerful message about being a cheerful giver, and she rooted that message in Scripture. The Word of God ought to shape our lives. Sometimes I believe that we use Scripture passages as just a catchphrase, or as my title suggests, a tagline. We recite words out of habit without allowing those words to truly guide and shape our lives. For some, Scripture is just a tagline. You know what a tagline is. A tagline is a slogan, reiterated phrases that are connected to an individual, group, or product. Many companies use slogans or taglines in marketing materials. And they want to create phrases that capture the essence of the product or what they're marketing. And to reinforce and strengthen our memory of something. And there have been many taglines that we've committed to memory over the years. And I'm over 60, and so I couldn't think of any current taglines. But those of you over 50, you remember "You're in good hands with Allstate." And "Bounty the quicker." Yeah. All those taglines are repeated and etched into our memory so that we can think about the product. While taglines are important, the Word of God cannot just be a tagline, something that we recite out of routine. The Word of God has to be a lifeline. And what is a lifeline? A lifeline is, you know, we are familiar with lifelines, a rope or something that is used for saving or preserving a person's life. A lifeline is something that is regarded as indispensable for the maintaining or protection of life. So our text in Proverbs 3 isn't a tagline to be recited by rote or just by memory. It isn't even an identifier to use when we stand to speak or to preach. Instead, this passage in Proverbs 3 is providing instructions about the fear of the Lord. The writer in this chapter is talking about the fear of the Lord and what it means. He tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what is the meaning of the fear of the Lord? What is the inner spirit of the fear of the Lord? Does it mean simply to be afraid of God? Does it mean that we run at the away from the presence of God? The fear of the Lord is what the writer talks about in our text. He uses our text to embody the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And listen again, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. And so these two verses explain to us how the believer ought to live. And living in this way, according to these verses, becomes a reflection of living under the fear of the Lord. And so these verses are not a tagline that you get up and recite before you give a speech, that you just say to say. They are a veritable lifeline. And when we live on the basis of these words, our lives become living reflections of the fear of the Lord. Let's break down these verses. Get what they're saying. One point that the writer emphasizes about living under the fear of the Lord, living with a lifeline, is he emphasizes trust. Trust as the basic foundation of life. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So if you're going to live under the fear of the Lord, the foundation of that is trust in God. To trust in God means several things. It means that we believe God exists. We believe that there is a God. And that is the foundational principle of faith. You can't trust in God without believing that God exists, that believing that God is. But trusting also means that we believe in the complete sovereignty of God. We believe that God is in charge of everything. We believe that all of the created order is under God's control. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Trusting also means that we believe God's word. We believe the scriptures are the word of God. You can't trust God without believing what God says and what God teaches. We believe that what the scriptures say and teach come from God. So the writer says, trust in the Lord. That's believing there is a God. That's believing that God is completely in charge. That's believing what God says and what God teaches. And then he says, with all your heart. You got to believe in God with all your heart. That means we trust God with every fiber of our being. That means that we trust God completely. But it also means that if we trust God with every part of us, that we also entrust our lives to God. Now, this is my paper just dropped here. So these tithing talks on the first Sunday, and I'm not talking about giving right now, but I just want to make a point. These tithing talks are rooted in Scripture. Because before a person can commit to giving, they've got to commit to what the Bible says. They've got to commit to what God says. So it means we entrust our lives to God. We know that our lives are in God's hand. So trusting God isn't just about reciting verses. A bunch of people, preachers included, can recite verses. Trusting a God is about how we live our lives. We begin with the foundation, and that foundation is trust in God. At my house, I have two hot water heaters. And over the past 2 months, both of them stopped working. They're 17 years old. And both hot water heaters are located in the attic, one on the east side of the house and the other on the west side of the house. And the one on the west side is accessed by an inside stairway. Just go up the stairs, open the door, and there's a hot water heater. But the one on the east side is accessed by a drop-down stairway. So you have to pull it down from the ceiling. Well, when that one went out, I wanted to go up to check the water heater from the drop-down stairway. So I pulled it down and got it all the way down. But the ceiling height on that floor is about 10 feet. And so when I looked at the steps, they looked a little flimsy. And I checked to see whether there were weight specifications for the steps, because I'm a big guy. And I didn't want to climb the steps only to discover after getting on them that the steps couldn't hold me. I didn't want to crash to the floor, so I enlisted my son. We're the same height. We're both 6'1", but there's a significant difference in weight. I let him climb the stairs and check the water heater because I didn't trust that the stairs could hold me. When we trust in God with all our heart, we trust that God has the capacity to hold us. When we trust in God with all our heart, we trust that if we get onto the steps that God has provided, we will not crash to the floor. We will not fall through because God is in charge and God can hold us. Trusting is the basic foundation of life. And in order to live your trust, to live under the fear of the Lord, there has to be a necessary application. You can't just have trust as a feeling or a thought without applying that trust to your life. And so the text says, the application, here it is, and lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways submit to him. It's one thing to trust God. It's another thing to apply that trust to our lives. So the meaning of living under the fear of the Lord is that we do not live our lives on the basis of self-reliance. We don't trust our wisdom more than we trust the wisdom of God. It means that we recognize the limits of human knowledge and wisdom. We know, as Paul says to the Corinthians, that we know in part, that our knowledge is limited. So what does it mean? Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him. We apply our trust, or live out our trust, by submitting every decision and every action to God's guidance. Our behavior in activities, our behavior in situations is guided by God. That means that we apply our trust in everything. There should not be any area of our lives that doesn't depend upon the guidance and wisdom of God. It's in on my paper. Just dropped in my spirit. So we get older. Our bodies change. Sometimes we got a creak here and a crook there. We can't walk as quickly as we used to walk. We need a cane. We walk more gingerly than in the past. Sometimes, and though at those times, then we're really praying. And we're really trusting, oh God, don't let me fall. Oh God, don't let me roll down the stairs. Don't let me fall and break my hip now. You understand what I'm saying? We really trust God when in those situations, but trusting means that even when we have the capacity to do it by ourselves, to do it on our own, to move about as we choose, we trust God in everything. Don't just trust God when all your resources run out. You begin with God. So we cannot live under the fear of the Lord unless God governs our conduct in the world. If we withhold any area from God's control, then we demonstrate that the scripture is more of a tagline than a lifeline. If God is not in charge, it's not a lifeline, it's a tagline. In other words, we have to move from faith to action. The application of trust means that we have to apply what we believe. If we believe God exists, then we have to put that in action. If we believe God is sovereign, then we have to put that in action. If we believe God's word, then we have to put that into action. Some Christians are cliche Christians. They are cliche chasers. They move from one cliche to the next. And often some of these new so-called movements are just cliche movements. So long we've used these worn out cliches. Well, God won't put more on you than you can bear. Or when praises go up, blessings come down. That ain't the only way blessings come. Blessings come by obedience and living right and being faithful. I'm waiting for my breakthrough. Or name it and claim it. If you make one step, God will make two. We come up with all kinds of homespun cliches or popular cliches, taglines, catchphrases, and that's our spirituality. There's nothing wrong with a tagline or a cliche so long as you live what you speak. You cannot stand up and say when someone says, how you doing? Oh, well, I'm blessed and highly favored. And then run around begging for your food and begging for somebody to pay your rent. Come on, somebody. You can't say, I'm blessed and highly favored. And when the doctor says it's cancer, you fall apart and run away from God. When you just recite cliches or taglines, you're like the person who built his house on the sand. You know what the Bible says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. We don't need a tagline, beloved. We need a lifeline. And a lifeline requires us to apply or to put into action what we believe. If we believe that prayer changes things, then we ought to be praying all the time. If we believe that God can comfort a grieving heart, then we ought to give our grief to God. If we believe that God can open a door for us, then we ought to walk up to the door and knock on it and expect God to open the door. And we have trust as the basic foundation and apply that trust, we submit everything to God, then we are living under the fear of the Lord. You don't gain anything by being a fake Christian, running around quoting scripture and reciting all these cliches, but not living what you're talking about and not trusting in God for the guidance that you need in your life. And when you do that, when you trust God with all your heart and then apply that trust into action, into the way you live, and the Bible talks about divine demonstration. Because the text says, and he will make your paths straight. So that is a promise in the text. And the promise is, When we do our part, God will do God's part. If we trust God with all our hearts, if we take that trust and put it into action, that's doing our part. That's what he tells us to do, to trust him. We are doing what we can truly do. God promises to make our path straight. And what does that mean? It means that God will clear the path. Nobody can clear it like God can. It means that God will fix the path. Sometimes the path is straight. Sometimes the path is crooked. Sometimes the path meanders through a troubling situation or a troubling path somewhere. But God is able to fix it so that we can travel without obstructions and without searching for direction. It means that when he will make your path straight, that God's wisdom will navigate our lives and lead us in the ways we should go. God will be the GPS system in our lives. I like the fact that God not only takes responsibility for the present, what is happening right now, but God also takes responsibility for the future. So that God will not just guide you today, but when tomorrow comes, God will be there to greet you and to navigate your life. And we don't have to worry about forks in the road because God knows how to lead us. That's why we're saying, lead me, guide me this morning. But it also means when he says he will make your path straight, that God promises to be faithful, that God will never abandon us. There will never be a time when we're on the road alone. God will never leave us, beloved. Sometimes when difficulties arise, we begin to pray. And sometimes we pray hoping that God will show up. But the reality is, God has never left us. God is already there. And so instead of praying for God to stop by, we ought to pray to God, while you're here, strengthen my heart and comfort my spirit. It means that God will guide us to every blessing that God has for us. He'll make your path straight. And so whatever God has in store for you and in store for your life, you don't have to look for it because God won't hide it from you. God will lead you directly to every blessing that God has in store for your life. We travel with divine protection. It makes a difference when you trust God with all your heart and then apply that trust in action in how you live, because then God will show what God can do. Last Sunday, I left church later than usual. I usually go to the office and sit a while and let myself dry off before I go outside so I don't catch something. And but last Sunday, before I left, I found out that I needed to drop somebody off, to take someone home. And it was a good idea, a good thing that I didn't leave at my normal time, because there was an accident on I-35. Had I left when I normally leave, I would have been stuck in traffic because the whole expressway was shut down. And I didn't know about the accident because it was north of Breaker Lane. All lanes were closed. So I went south, dropped this person off, and then headed back north on I-35. And as I was driving toward home, someone called me and told me to exit as soon as possible because of the accident. And I was able to get off at Breaker and use a local path, went down Dessau to get home. And that was just a friend looking out for me. I avoided sitting in traffic because somebody knew that there was an accident ahead of me. And that's what God does in our lives. God scans the horizon of human existence. And God sees everything at the same time. And when we trust God, God continually provides updates. He updates us about what's going on. He updates us about problems. He updates us about sickness. He updates us about the weather. He updates us about troublemakers. God constantly provides updates and lets us know which way to go. And that's why you ought to talk to him. That's why you ought to pray to him. Because when you plug in, you might just get an update. And God might say, don't go that way. Don't go down that road. There's trouble ahead of you. Go down another road. God will direct us. If we trust God, God will protect us. If we trust God, God will guide our steps. Songwriter said, let Jesus lead you. Let Jesus lead you all the way. And somebody else said, he's a mighty good leader, because he is a mighty leader. I'm done. But in these times, we can't just have a tagline. We gotta have a lifeline. We need somebody who's looking out for us. We need a lifeline that we can grab when the storms of life are raging. Yes, the scripture provides lifelines, but only if you truly believe it. My wife went to the hairdresser a couple of weeks ago. She had her mask on, got her hair done by the hairdresser. And she said it just happened that the hairdresser didn't have her mask on that day. She said she was a little concerned about it, started to leave, but you know, had to get the do done. She sat there. Then that was on a Friday. Then she got a call from the hairdresser on Monday. And the hairdresser said, I came down with COVID. And my wife said, oh my God. And I was sitting in her chair and she just came down with COVID. She's been vaccinated. She's had her booster shot and she was worried about it. And she didn't know what she was going to do. And she said she was going to wait. She didn't feel any symptoms. She didn't feel anything going on in her body. Finally, she took a COVID test and the COVID test came back clear. No COVID-19, nothing. And so we just praise God that could have been transferred to her just by sitting and getting her hair done. It can happen any place. It can happen in any time, but I saw it as God looking out for us. That sometimes when we don't know what's going on, sometimes when we don't know we're in a difficult situation, there is a God who sits high but looks low. There is a God who's looking out for us. Bible says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose minds are stayed on thee because they trust in him. The Bible says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. The Bible says the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never fail you or forsake you. The Bible says, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. You need a lifeline, beloved. And if you don't have a lifeline, we offer Jesus Christ to you. He's the only lifeline. He's the only one who can handle everything. The Bible says, trust in God with all your heart. And when you apply that trust, God will demonstrate what God can do. He'll be with you. The invitation, Christian discipleship, is extended. Will you stand with me as our deacons and greeters come? I want you to know that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. And God will never fail or forsake you. Church covenant since you're up.